Association is fighting to protect the air we breathe, both indoors and out. See what you can do at fightingforair.org.
Arizona News Radio. Embattled Tucson lawmaker Daniel Patterson appears before the House Ethics Committee and then resigns.
I am truly sorry to anyone that I have offended or intimidated in the House. This has never been intentional.
Former Maricopa County Attorney Andrew Thomas vows to move forward, even though he says he shouldn't have been disbarred yesterday.
It was a stacked deck. The presiding judge had been the trial judge in the Donahoe criminal case. He was ethically required to recuse himself. He didn't.
Governor Brewer says the state's bracing for another damaging wildfire season.
Resources such as tankers, tactical surveillance aircraft, DPS and National Guard helicopters, and 12 20-person inmate firefighting crews.
A worker at a Chandler chiropractic office accidentally shot.
It did come out as an accidental shooting. When the first responding officer got there, he advised that the situation was calm.
George Tatter, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of Advil PM in the 4 o'clock hour. Look for an accident on the school road at Chandler Heights Boulevard. Also, we have a wreck 59th Avenue South of Thomas. Another accident 91st Avenue at Thomas as well. We have a wreck at Cotton Lane, this one at I-10. Spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep with Advil PM. Advil PM, it works. Here is your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Much cooler air has moved into the western part of the United States now, and that will continue and intensify the rest of the week. We're mid-70s tomorrow and Friday under partly cloudy skies. Then Saturday, it's cloudy to partly cloudy, only 67. Some scattered showers north of town. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thank you, Jimmy. KFNX News Time is 4:05. Currently here in Midtown, we're at 78 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Are you having trouble getting a loan from your bank for your small business? U.S. Senators John McCain and John Kyle can help, and credit unions are ready to lend a hand. Credit unions have money to lend, but a cap on small business loans stands in their way. If Congress raises this cap, Arizona would see over $160 million freed up for small businesses, creating over 1,400 new jobs. And it wouldn't cost taxpayers a dime. That's right. Arizona could see over $160 million in new investments, creating over 1,400 new jobs without using taxpayer funds. It's time for our senators and the federal government to help Arizona's credit unions create new jobs. Call Senators McCain and Kyle toll-free at 877-642-4223. Tell them to raise the limits on member business loans so credit unions can help put Arizona back to work. Paid for by the Mountain West Credit Union Association.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
I grew up.
You're out of order!
I want to be a lawyer just like you.
You're out of order!
Good for you, son.
The whole trial is out of order!
If there's one thing America needs,
they're out of order!
It's more lawyers.
Oh. You got my pride hanging out of my bed. You messing with my life.
This is Dennis Wolinchek and Jack Wolinchek, and we're here every week, Wednesdays from 4 to 5 on Legalese, a show that... Well, we get into a lot of different things, but mostly focusing on legal issues, obviously, given the name. But today we are going to focus, I think, on a very timely topic that's of great interest and, in fact, became of greater interest to us as we look at the news just before the show went on. But apparently Zimmerman, the guy in Florida, is being charged with second-degree murder now. I don't know if many of you have heard that, but it was news to me, being busy and all, so some of you may not know that. This is the neighborhood watch volunteer who shot 17-year-old Trayvon Martin, and he was arrested and charged with second-degree murder Wednesday after months of mounting tensions and protests across the country. So he could get up to life in prison if convicted in the slaying of this unarmed teenager. And we're going to be talking about this issue first with Attorney General Tom Horn, who's been a guest on the show before, and we're pleased to have him talk about this whole topic, which is referred to by many people as stand your ground. And then we're going to have also later on in the show, because Tom has to leave us at some point, We're going to have Jeff Jamieson of the Scottsdale Human Relations Commission. We're going to have defense attorney Mark Victor on. And then we're going to have police officers James Holmes and Brian Cornegie. I hope I pronounced it right. Brian Cornegie on the show at the end to discuss their perspectives as police officers on the street. So stand your ground. Interesting topic. Tom Horn, are you with us? How are you today?
Good. How are you, Dennis? It's always good to be with you.
Always good to hear your voice, yes. As I've said many times, we're blessed to have you as our Attorney General. So, Tom, I know your time is limited, and I'm glad you were on the show talking with us about this topic. This is a fascinating subject. And what we're talking about is basically ARS 13-1404 and 13-1405 as it relates to our state.
Yeah, 405 and 404, not 14.
Yeah. So tell me, what's your take on this whole thing with Zimmerman and how it relates to your job as Attorney General?
Well, in Arizona, we instead of stand your ground, we call it no duty to retreat.
Yeah.
And you're entitled to use a deadly physical force if it's immediately necessary to protect yourself against the other's use or attempted use of unlawful deadly physical force. And then it said a person has no duty to retreat before threatening or using deadly physical force pursuant to this section if the person is in a place where the person may legally be and is not engaged in unlawful act. So if you're someplace where you can legally be in this, you know, the obvious place is your house, but you can be on the street too if you're not doing anything illegal. You have no duty to retreat if you have a reasonable fear that the other person is going to use deadly force against you. Now, deadly force is defined under a different statute, 13-105, paragraph 14, as that the person intends to cause death or serious physical injury, not just death, or he's doing it in a way which creates a substantial risk of causing death or serious physical injury. So someone is about to do something to you that could create a substantial risk of death or serious physical injury, you're entitled to use deadly force to protect yourself, and you have no duty to retreat under Arizona law.
Now, Tom, and again, we're talking with Tom Horn, our Attorney General. Tom, how does this play in, as you see it, with 13-404, which is basically talking about self-defenses, which, as I read it, and I'm no expert on the subject, certainly, but as I read it, it doesn't talk about this deadly force. It talks
about 404 is non-deadly force. 405 is deadly force.
Okay.
And so 404 doesn't have this paragraph about the no duty to retreat because, you know, someone punches you, you can punch them back. I mean, it's not a we're talking about non-deadly force, so it's that's not an issue.
Okay.
There, but with deadly force, it becomes an issue where in some jurisdictions, probably never in Arizona, but in some jurisdictions, to avoid deadly force, you were expected to retreat. In Arizona, by statute, you're not expected to retreat. It may be that you never had to. Dennis, another interesting one is 13-411, which is the use of force to prevent crimes. It's crime prevention.
Right.
And that also has the no duty to retreat provision. And it includes use of deadly force to prevent a number of crimes, including burglary, including sexual conduct with a minor. So if you come home and you find somebody sexually assaulting, say, a child, you're entitled to shoot him. You don't have to call the police and get him arrested. You could shoot him on the spot. It's a pretty strong statute.
Yeah, interesting. Now, getting back to the Zimmerman case, which is so much in the news, and again, I don't expect you certainly to give us, definitive answers on what you would do if that case were here. But in general, here's a guy allegedly who uses deadly physical force on a guy that arguably, according to him, was a nuisance to him of some kind, maybe even threatening him in some way, but doesn't have a gun, okay? So under that scenario in general, just so that people can, be educated, in Arizona, the way you read 405, does that give in Arizona somebody the right to shoot somebody, assuming that somebody is being obnoxious, maybe even using words verbally to harass them or to mm-hmm. intimidate them, you know?
Well, I think there are two questions there. The first one is, did Zimmerman provoke? I mean, assuming the victim attacked Zimmerman, which is Zimmerman's claim.
Yeah.
The first question is, did he provoke it? And if he did provoke it, then he is not entitled to use force to defend himself unless he withdraws from the encounter or clearly communicates to the other his intent to do so.
Okay, so let's just take this factually. Yeah. My understanding is Zimmerman claims that he was doing his job as a watch patrol guy or whatever.
Right.
And then this guy assaulted him and threw him to the ground. Whether it's true or not, right. we won't get into.
Right.
But assuming that kind of a situation.
Yeah, then there are two questions. The first one is, did Zimmerman provoke that attack? If he did, he's not entitled to use force to defend himself unless he declares his intent to withdraw. Then the second question is, let's assume the other guy was beating him up. Was he... did he reasonably fear death or serious physical injury, or was this being done in a way to create a substantial risk of causing death or physical injury? If it's just, you know, getting punched and having some bruises, you can't use deadly force to protect yourself. But the question, and would normally be a jury question.
All right, but let me stop you.
Yeah.
Real quick. My understanding, and again, I'm not an expert on the case or on the law for that matter in this area.
Well, but, no one's an expert on the case.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's a good point. But yeah. But anyway, my point is I don't know all the facts is what I'm saying. Nobody probably does.
And nobody does, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But let's assume from what I heard that his position is, and I say this for an educational reason, that his position is that Trayvon Martin was also saying, hey, I'm going to kill you, you're going to die tonight. Okay, let's add that to the equation, after he throws him to the ground. Is that enough, in your opinion, as Attorney General, to give somebody the right then to pull out a gun and shoot the guy?
Only, well, it would be a jury, it would be
up to
a jury to believe, to determine whether or not he reasonably believed that he was going to, that if he didn't defend himself, he was going to suffer death or serious physical injury, or did he, or whether he reasonably believed that the person was using a method that created a serious risk of causing death or serious physical injury. You know, punching someone probably doesn't.
Or fighting words, because we got about a minute, Tom, and I know you have to run.
Yeah.
But are fighting words, in your opinion, enough for people to assume that they can pull out a gun on somebody who says, I'm going to kill you?
No, fighting words are not mentioned in the statute. What the statute talks about is, does a person reasonably fear, and then the jury would have to determine, you know, the words, the actions, the method used, and so on, did they create a reasonable apprehension of death or physical injury, or that there was a serious risk of that because of the method that the guy was using.
So the bottom line to that is, we've got less than a minute. Trayvon Martin, like in that case, he doesn't necessarily need to brandish a gun, you're saying, in order to justify the other guy in believing that he might be in serious physical danger if Trayvon Martin says, I'm going to kill you. Well, that would be a jury question, but...
Well, words, it has to be combined with actions. Words alone are never sufficient.
Well, I mean, he throws him on the ground. He says, I'm going to kill you.
He throws him on the ground. He says, I'm going to kill you, and he's beating him up, or he's strangling him, let's say.
All right.
Then it would be a jury question. Did he reasonably believe that there was a serious danger to him of suffering death or serious physical injury?
Based on what you know, guilty or not guilty?
Dennis, it's
I put you on the spot.
I'm reminded of Yogi Berra, who said it's hard to make predictions, especially about the future.
Great one. Great way to end the segment, Tom. I appreciate your being on. I know you got to run. Thanks for being on as always, okay?
Thanks, Dennis.
Take care. Very helpful. Okay, we'll be back after these commercial messages.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Ow.
Ow.
Paul here is a business owner.
Ow.
He's trying to figure out how to increase revenue growth, but the only thing increasing is his blood pressure. What Paul needs is some help from John Waters, a 30-year business veteran and coach, and right now he's offering a strategic business review free to the first 10 callers at 480-636-1720. It's worth over $500.
Ow.
Not to mention how much you'll save on aspirin. Call 480-686-1720 now.
If you have a mortgage in Arizona, there's a huge chance that you're upside down on that home.
there is good news. Banks are encouraging short sales. At Renee Leach & Associates, we have the experience to help you get out from under a bad mortgage. It will cost you nothing. You can't wait. Banks are not going to allow you to short sale forever. Call 480-656-1644. Ask for me, Dave Leach, and let me help you gather the information you need to understand your options. Renee Leach & Associates, 480-656-1644, 480-656-1644, RLABrokers.com.
Are you ready to push the stop button on fears, doubts, and anxiety-provoking thoughts? Or perhaps you are ready to take charge of your life and broaden the way you see the world? You can do all this and more on The Nancy Pristine Show, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday from 12 to 1 p.m. Pristine is an award-winning author and motivational speaker. When she speaks, people listen. Let Pristine help you be your best self in every situation. Order Pristine's books, The Zen Game, The Victory Dance, and Victory Dancing for Teens at Amazon.com or by going to NancyPristine.com today.
Imus in the Morning. Independent Talk. 1100 KFNX.
Breaking the law. Breaking the law. Dennis Walenchek and Jack Walenchek, and we're here talking about what some people call standoff laws, right to defend yourself laws. There's various ways people have described stand your ground law. Thank you. I appreciate that correction. We just had on Attorney General Tom Horn, who was discussing the statutes with us and his take on it, particularly as to this Zimmerman case, which is in the news now, Jack, because fact is now he's going to be charged with second-degree murder. And second-degree murder is typically brought in cases when there's a fight or other confrontation that results in death but doesn't involve a premeditated plan to kill. So theoretically, this would make some sense, assuming that Trayvon Martin was, of course, not armed and was not threatening with deadly physical force Zimmerman. So,
another thing we were just talking about over the break is that is my mic on, Chad?
I can't hear him.
All right, there we go. Another thing we were just talking about over the break is that if the person is in a place unlawfully, then the whole thing flies out the window. There's no protection under the stand your ground law. But we'll talk about that.
Well, and that's what we're going to talk about, particularly as to this case, because it's a good case for educational purposes, I think, so people can, you know, understand what these laws mean, including myself. I mean, meaning that if Zimmerman had no business doing what he was doing and was harassing this kid walking down the street who was minding his own business, then that changes the whole ball game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the issue there is, was Zimmerman one of these block watchers, or what do they call them? Guys that patrol these neighborhoods.
Neighborhood watch.
Yeah, and whether or not he had a right somehow to do that, since he was not a deputized officer, I assume. So anyway, we're talking now with Jeff Jamieson, who's on the phone with us. And as I said at the beginning of the show, Jeff is with us from the Scottsdale Human Relations Commission to discuss the Stand Your Ground, which we're calling Stand Your Ground Law, just as a name to put on it. Jeff, are you with us here?
Good afternoon, yes.
Yeah, how are you today?
Quite well. Beautiful day in the valley.
Yeah, another one. Uh-huh. Well, amazing. I'd like to be a weatherman in the valley, I've often said. Probably the easiest job in the world. I can just call in my my segment every time. But let's get right down to this. You are chairman of the Scottsdale Human Relations Commission. Now, can you describe for our listeners the background of the membership of the Scottsdale Human Relations Commission and how it comes into play with respect to community issues relating to something like this Zimmerman Trayvon Martin matter?
Yeah, sure. The commission was founded in the year 2000 to help city council and the mayor's office identify opportunities to promote more diversity dialogue in our communities, ways to encourage mutual respect and understanding across people, to also discourage prejudice. And we do programming on awareness of issues of civil rights, personal rights, and the things that are related to what we're talking about today.
Yeah. And by the way, we had asked Oscar Tillman to be on the show from the NAACP. He unfortunately had to cancel at the last minute because he had another engagement that was pressing. But So tell us basically your take on this whole Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin thing, because it's taken on a life of its own, it sounds like.
Well, that's exactly why we took it up in the first place. Had this not flared up as a civil rights issue, it may not have hit our radar, but it got so much publicity, it raised enough curiosity amongst our commission members that we wanted to find out more about what it means to defend yourself, what individual rights are related to that, and how sensitive are our police departments to diversity issues, how sensitive are block watch, neighborhood watch, community groups sensitive to these issues. So, you know, we took it up as a way to help educate our Scottsdale residents so they don't get into jams like this, and we don't have anything nearly as severe going on in our neighborhood.
Let me ask you something about this now. Let's talk about the race aspect of this, because that's apparently one of the reasons why this, I can gather from what I see of it, has taken on such a importance or life of its own, as opposed to every other crime that occurs, you know, throughout the country every day.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on that? Do you see this as a race issue, or is it is that just being overblown, or what?
Well, not having been there and not having enough facts on the issues itself, it would seem that there's been a lot of too much conversation about what the race issues are. Our concern is that people make far too many judgment calls about people's skin color or how they may be dressed, and in this Trayvon Martin situation, you know, a young black kid with a hoodie walking down a street of probably predominantly white or light-skinned people raised some concern with Mr. Zimmerman.
Yeah, I mean, is there any other evidence that you know of looking at the case that would indicate that this is an overwhelming problem, or that even in that case that there's evidence that Zimmerman had some racial motive? Because what I heard, and again, you know, I'll say again, I'm no expert on it, but what I heard was, at least from his father, who's a former judge, was that there's no evidence in Zimmerman's past, at least, or his family's for that matter, of any kind of racial prejudice or bias or any of that stuff that I could detect. I mean, this isn't like a Ku Klux Klan guy going out and doing stuff. So I'm just kind of curious your take on why this has become such an issue. Is that people are hungry to make these things into racial issues, or is that necessary? Why do people do that?
Well, I think overall that, you know, we're living in a pretty divisive rhetorical atmosphere across all the political spectrum. So if it's white versus black, red versus green, people tend to polarize around these issues.
Well, that's my question. Do they, or is it the media? That's one of my questions. Is this really a problem out in the community? And I'll ask my other guests the same question later. Or is this just something media uses, again, to trump stuff up, to get people against one another because they love that, write more stories about it, make a big issue, and it gives them something to put in their papers? Because I didn't see any evidence that Zimmerman shot this guy because he's a black guy. I mean, I didn't see that. Maybe I'm missing it. But everybody else is putting that on him, but I didn't see any evidence in his past, his history. I mean, it's not like this lunatic that shot our congressman down in Tucson who has a history of writing stuff and crazy stuff. I didn't see that about Zimmerman, so it sounded like to me that Zimmerman is probably some guy who probably had good intentions, it would sound like at least, in terms of what his intent was in patrolling around. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that do that, even in our city.
Well, the point about him patrolling around, he was virtually told to stand down and not to pursue or trail the Trayvon in the situation. And when we interviewed with Chief Coca here at our meeting on Monday, that was exactly his precise advice, that if you're told by a 911 operator that you do not need to pursue, that is the best process, and that is why a block watch is there, so they can turn this the law enforcement over to the police. So I don't know exactly what happened, but I do know from the tapes in the Zimmerman case that he was told exactly that. He did not need to follow the child.
Well, that's important. I didn't, you know, that's a critical point. I had not heard that.
Yeah.
In the account that I saw. So if that's the case, it changes at least my mind a lot about the situation. If he's told to stay away from it, he needs to leave it to people who are professionals and the authorities to deal with it, if in fact
Absolutely.
There was any problem at all.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I guess that's the other point of this, right? What was the problem? The guy's walking with a hoodie, so that's not against the law. So,
no,
you know, I mean, that's probably the issue. What was his purpose in stopping this guy?
Well, you know, I wanted to get back to your other broader question about what, you know, is it a chicken or egg? Is it people's innate prejudice, or is this being trumped up by the media? You know, I've been working on diversity issues for 20 years, and I've heard a lot of people who talk about being of a minority race in a majority neighborhood where an example would be where a couple of black people are walking down the street and they literally see white people tighten up or grab a tighter grip on their purse or protect their pockets for no reason whatsoever. So is that a media fomenting that we should be protecting ourselves against other minorities, or is it some things that are learned that we just need to be more educated about, do more education, training, sensitivity, understand that people are just people, and that nobody in the vast majority of people mean no harm to one another.
Yeah, it's an never-ending problem, I guess, you know. It's changing people's attitudes, and of course when you're talking about, you know, self-defense, safety, you know, it's hard to tell people that because you can tell them that, but they're gonna do what they're going to do, right? You know, you can tell somebody not to be fearful, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to be, right?
Right, right. And given any
whether it's logical or not.
Yeah, well, right. Given any intense situations where you may feel, in fact, threatened face-to-face, and we know that there are legitimate circumstances of threat to body in your home, in your car, or in your personal space in public, that people have the right to protect themselves and protect their loved ones. But as we heard in our meeting the other night, it's certainly better to avoid a gunfight than to try to win one. And
all right, you know. Well, we're going to leave it on that great note, by the way, because we're going to have to break for the news.
Uh-huh.
And we'll be back after these messages and the news. But thank you so much, Mr. Jameson, for being on our show.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you guys.
Good
thanks
to talk
very
to you.
Much.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
NBC News Radio Special Report. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz. Charges and an arrest in the death of Trayvon Martin.
Mr. Zimmerman is indeed in custody.
Special Prosecutor Angela Corey announced the charges a short time ago.
Today we filed an information charging George Zimmerman with murder in the second degree.
The controversial case began 45 days ago when Zimmerman shot Martin in his gated community in Sanford, Florida, claiming self-defense. Since that time, there's been a national outcry that charges be filed. Corey says that wasn't a factor.
We do not prosecute by public pressure or by petition. We prosecute based on the facts.
And she says there was a process that had to be followed.
And that's what we would have hoped the public would have waited for, but some people did not wait. And so an arrest can only be based upon probable cause.
Once again, the hour's top story, George Zimmerman is in custody and is charged with second-degree murder in the death of Trayvon Martin. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio.
He felt forced to resign.
House Speaker Andy Tobin, embattled Tucson lawmaker Daniel Patterson, resigns after testifying and apologizing to the House Ethics Committee.
I have tried to be honest. I've tried to be humble. I've tried to admit my mistakes and say I'm sorry.
Former Maricopa County Attorney Andrew Thomas has been disbarred, but he says he'll move on.
Honest prosecutors have been unjustly smeared and punished. The rule of law is no more in this county.
Pima County Sheriff's deputies identify one of two men shot and killed in an ambush by other smuggling groups in the desert near Eloy.
They have been up in the area of the incident location for the past several days since this occurred, and they have collected a lot of evidence.
Phoenix police arrest four more suspects in connection with the shooting death of a 20-year-old man whose body was found in the parking lot of an apartment complex in a bad drug deal.
They robbed him of not only his drugs but of money, and he was eventually shot and killed.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of Advil PM. Looking around the Valley of the Sun, gang. Unified, an accident off to the right. Southbound Loop 101 at Thunderbird. Also, we have a wreck cactus near 32nd Street. I-10 at Dysart. So find a collision there and watch for an accident westbound I-10 at Highway 85. Spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep with Advil PM. Advil PM, it works. Here's your Wednesday forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Much cooler air has moved into the western part of the United States now, and that will continue and intensify the rest of the week. We're mid-70s tomorrow and Friday under partly cloudy skies. Then Saturday, it's cloudy to partly cloudy, only 67. Some scattered showers north of town. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently, we're at 75 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX, News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Are you having trouble getting a loan from your bank for your small business? U.S. Senators John McCain and John Kyle can help, and credit unions are ready to lend a hand. Credit unions have money to lend, but a cap on small business loans stands in their way. If Congress raises this cap, Arizona would see over $160 million freed up for small businesses, creating over 1,400 new jobs. And it wouldn't cost taxpayers a dime. That's right. Arizona could see over $160 million in new investments, creating over 1,400 new jobs without using taxpayer funds. It's time for our senators and the federal government to help Arizona's credit unions create new jobs. Call Senators McCain and Kyle toll-free at 877-642-4223. Tell them to raise the limits on member business loans so credit unions can help put Arizona back to work. Paid for by the Mountain West Credit Union Association and the Credit Union National Association.
I'll never forget.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going out to drop water on the fires.
Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
I am. It is in this is Dennis Willinchek and Jack Willinchek. We're here on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5 on KFNX, News Talk Radio, Independent Talk Radio, whatever that means. And we have with us on this segment Mr. Mark J. Victor, who is a criminal defense attorney. Mark, are you with us?
I am, Dennis. How are you today?
I'm doing great. And I've been out here practicing law for about 34, going to 35 years. I understand you've been around a while.
Well, not quite that long. I'm probably in my 19th year here, but who's counting?
Right, who's counting? You're just younger and smarter than I am. I'm just too stupid to get out of the business. But let's talk about this stand your ground topic, because I know as a seasoned and experienced criminal defense attorney that you have had to have dealt with these issues, and they're philosophical issues as well as real issues. And what's your take on that whole Zimmerman thing? Let's start with that.
Well, I've been talking a lot about the Zimmerman thing. You may know and you may not. I speak at the Crossroads Gun Show, every gun show, on these very issues. And, you know, this is an issue that comes up. I give lots of presentations to gun groups about deadly force issues, and everybody wants to know, what do you think about the Zimmerman thing?
Yeah.
I think the only prudent thing to say about the Zimmerman thing at this point is we don't know what the facts are. I mean, I could certainly imagine facts that would cause me to conclude, at least, that Zimmerman was completely justified in shooting this guy. And I can also imagine facts where he wasn't. But, you know, the one thing that this incident got me thinking about, and that's getting me more talking about when I speak about these issues, is, you know, just because you have a legal right to do something doesn't mean it's smart to do it.
Right.
You know, and I think both of these guys probably made mistakes. I mean, did Zimmerman have every right to pursue this guy through the neighborhood after calling 911 and having 911 advise him, hey, don't pursue the guy? Yeah, he still had a right to pursue him, no doubt. Did Zimmerman have a right to stop and confront him and say whatever he said, you know, hey, you, what are you doing here? Absolutely. Was that smart? No. you know, this kid who's walking through the neighborhood. I don't know a lot of facts about that, but, you know, assuming he was walking through, addressed in a way where people are going to conclude he's a punk kid, troublemaker kid. I mean, does he have a right to dress in a way where people will conclude he's a troublemaker, punk kid? Absolutely.
Let me stop you there, Mark. We're talking to Mark Victor, noted criminal defense attorney here with us. We're happy to have him on the show, talking about the stand your ground issue in the Zimmerman case. But let me just get right to it, Mark. I appreciate your comments, but here's the thing that's troublesome to me on both sides. You know, if you're Trayvon Martin walking in this neighborhood with a hoodie on and stuff like that, you got to be also sensitive, in fairness, that there might be a guy like Zimmerman running around out there who would be sensitive to that on his side, okay? And so that's not really bright either, in my opinion, okay? You're almost sort of provoking something in the sense that you're saying, well, like, I have a right to walk here. It's a free country, but so I'm going to put my hood on and do what I'm going to do. But, you know, you got to also understand places and where you are and how people react. I mean, that's just reality. And that's why I'm saying that, because it may be even wrong reality, but it's reality, right? And
so it's exactly the point that I was making. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the smart thing to do, okay? Maybe you take your hood off and you say, hey, look, I'm going to a friend's house or whatever, and maybe you diffuse the situation on his end. Does he have to do that, like you said? Legally, no. But it's just smart to do, and that's what we wanted people to do in this country, our kids and so forth, right? That's what we're trying to tell them. You know, you don't have to be a hero, right? You know, you don't have to be a hero. That's what you're saying.
Now, right, and oftentimes, especially when we're talking about what we're now calling the stand your ground, we don't really call it that in Arizona. I mean, you don't have a duty to retreat. That's the way to say it in
right.
sort of more of a legalese. Sometimes we call it the castle doctrine. But as I say to people all the time, just because you don't have to retreat and just because you can stand there and you can defend yourself doesn't mean it's the smart thing to do.
Exactly.
You know, I always tell people, if you can retreat safely, you know, in a way that you're not going to be shot or killed, and, you know, of course, there could be circumstances where you can't retreat safely, but if you can, to live to fight another day,
yeah.
That makes more sense, because, you know, sometimes in the movies, I know the good guys, they come out on top, but in real life,
yeah.
You may be the good guy, you may have a right to sort of stand your ground and pull your gun, but you may not be quick draw McGraw, you may lose the gunfight.
No, that's actually great advice, I think, because whoever's right or wrong in that whole situation, whether it's that one or one that's happening here today as we speak, it really doesn't matter, you know? I mean, the bottom line is if you can protect yourself and you can get away from the situation, you do it, right?
Yeah, both guys were dumb. There's no doubt about that. Both people did something stupid. And, of course, you know, for the kid who was shot, he did something stupid because look how it turned out for him.
Well, that's the bottom line. Whether he was right legally, and he may have been right legally, as I said, in some ways it really doesn't matter from a practical perspective. But legally now, I do disagree with you on one point I want to point out.
Oh, good.
Yeah, right. Of course I disagree. I'm a lawyer, right? But, you know, I do think that it's a big difference to me if he was on the phone with 911, which I really didn't know before the show. For some reason, that escaped me. But if he was told to stay away, maybe monitor but not confront, and he did so, to me it's worse than being stupid. I think at that point he's provoking a situation. Notwithstanding, as I said, that Trayvon Martin probably should have, you know, just said, hey, you know, I'm unarmed and taken his hood down and moved on. Is that embarrassing for him? Sure it is. Is it humiliating? It may be. But it would have saved his life. And again, the smart thing to do, not necessarily the heroic thing to do. But
unfortunately, I don't know that we disagree on this point.
Okay.
Disagreement's much more interesting.
Yeah.
But I certainly think it was dumb for him, and that was the point that I was making. It was dumb
yeah.
for Zimmerman to disregard what the 911 operator was saying. But my point was, does he have a legal right to disregard that 911 operator and continue?
Well, tell us about that. Tell us about that. What do you perceive to be? We're talking to Mark Victor, defense attorney, criminal defense attorney. What do you perceive to be his right to do that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's got a right to pursue a person on a public roadway. You have a right to say, hey, you know, to confront them and say, hey, what are you doing here? And
do you really, though?
Absolutely. You have a right to approach a person and say, really, pretty much anything you want to say.
Well, I don't doubt that it's a free country and you can say what you want to say. But,
and I think that's what he did. Now, this kid could have simply kept walking and completely
Yeah, well, that's the point.
You have a right to ignore another person
as well. You raise a good point, actually. We're going to pursue this throughout the remainder of the show because it's a great point you're raising. Talking to Mark Victor, defense attorney on this Zimmerman matter here at KFNX. You know, you're right in a way. I mean, he has a right to do anything he wants to do. It's a public street. He can say whatever he wants to say to Trayvon Martin. You're absolutely right on that. I take that back. But what I was getting at was if he provoked him by, for example, saying, you know, I demand you show your identification or something like that, you may be right. Maybe it's a free country and he can even say that and the other guy can just continue to walk, right?
I think so. I think that's
an interesting point.
You get into conduct that is not protected by the First Amendment where you're dealing with fighting words. At some point, you know, if he's approaching this guy and he says, look, if you don't stop right now, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm
okay.
Coming towards you with fists clenched. Now he's crossed the line. Now he is into a threat of physical injury. Now, assuming that this kid –
But again, physical injury and not deadly force.
Well, physical injury is all that's required to trigger another person's right to self-defense.
Yeah, but does it give that person the right to kill somebody?
No, I'm talking about Zimmerman.
Yeah.
If Zimmerman had done something
right.
That was a threat to Trayvon, the Trayvon has a right to defend himself.
Yeah, but what we're talking about, let's be clear before we take a break, we have about a minute, but if that is the situation, the question is, if he had said what you just described on the radio, and even if they're fighting words, does the other party to that have the right to shoot him unless the other party is exhibiting deadly force, which Trayvon Martin couldn't have done, at least with any weapon? So the question is, if he said, I'm going to kill you, Zimmerman, okay, because I don't like what you just said to me, you see, is that enough to justify?
This is why I say we shouldn't speculate because we don't know the facts.
I'm saying if those were the facts, just from an educational standpoint so that people can come away from the show with something that they can utilize.
Zimmerman has a right to defend himself with deadly physical force. If the other kid is using force unlawfully in a way against Zimmerman, that creates a real risk of death or serious physical injury. Now, some of the reports where he was sort of slamming Zimmerman's head into the concrete repeatedly, if those are the facts, then there's a good argument that
Last
Zimmerman
point, we gotta go.
Deadly force.
Yeah, thanks so much. Mark Victor, we're talking with. Last point, and then I'm going to take a break here. Can that be by words alone? If he said, I'm going to kill you tonight, is that enough to justify?
Well, that clearly is not, because it doesn't have the imminency requirement that's needed.
All right, we're going to, on that note, Mark Victor, criminal defense attorney, is with us here. Thank you so much. I know you have to run also. We're going to be back with some Phoenix police officers talking about the same subject. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Lars Larson, weeknights at 10 on KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-285-9771. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. And it doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It'll be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those who need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. 1-800-285-9771. Donating is easy and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get that free vacation voucher for donating. So call right now. 1-800-285-9771. That's 1-800-285-9771.
As a student and teacher of dance for more than 20 years, JAD's mission is to create a rich learning environment for the advancement of an art that can transform people's lives. Visit dancewithchad.com today and choose the dance class that best suits your lifestyle. Email us today. That's chad@dancewithchad.com. If you have a desire to learn how to dance and have an open mind, Chad can teach anyone, anywhere, anytime. Log on today. That's dancewithchad.com.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
What do a party in the county jail?
This is Dennis Bolinchek, Jack Bolinchek, and we're here on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5, and talking about legal topics today. Again, it's been referred to by various names, but stand your ground and a duty to retreat in Arizona, as we were corrected by the Attorney General and Criminal Defense Attorney Mark Victor. And we've been talking with Jeff Jamieson from the Scottsdale Human Relations Commission, and now we're going to get the take on this whole Zimmerman mess and situations like that and community block watches and people who patrol around communities. We're fortunate to have two Phoenix police officers who are very experienced, and we have James Holmes here and Brian Cornegay. I think I got that right finally.
Yep.
And so, guys, let's start with you, James. You've been good enough to sit through our show, so you've heard all this. Now, I'm right off the bat curious about your take on what Mr. Victor was saying, the defense attorney. Now, I have a little bit of a problem, I'm just going to tell you up front, with what he said, because as I said to him, and I don't know who's right on this really, but it seems to me that when this guy, is a turning point for me, that when Zimmerman learns that he's not, you know, to pursue this guy, I think at that point, although Mark says, well, he has a right as a citizen to say what he wants to say to the guy, and nothing can stop that. Is that your understanding of how it works on the street?
Well, here in Phoenix, and I think it's a good point, and I listened to that, and I also grew a little bit concerned, and here's why. When you're talking to 911 on the telephone about any concern that you have, you're talking to law enforcement. You're talking to police officers. Police officers are responding to whatever concerns you have. When that 911 operator tells you, stop following that person, we talked about road rage even,
yeah.
Stop following that person, they're telling you that because they have a sense that there is an imminent danger if your behavior continues. And therefore, you have to consider that not only are they telling you that for your own good, but from a law enforcement standpoint, it's no different than if I'm standing there looking you in the face and I say, stop following that person.
Okay, so your take, just to cut to the chase, your take on this is a little different than Mark's. Your take is, as a police officer, once I tell you not to do something, you better not do it or you're now in violation of the law.
Well, you should not do it, or anything that you do after I give you that order, if I'm not legally detaining you or whatever, if anything that you do after I tell you that for your safety and the safety of the
public, but what he's saying,
you can end up being charged for what happens next.
Well, but that's what's interesting here, because I don't know who's right on this. Mark may be right, actually, because what he's saying is, well, what you're saying makes sense. What you're saying is smart, but it may not be legally correct in the sense that you can tell me to do something and I can say, am I breaking a law by being on the street talking to somebody? Because if I am, tell me what law I'm breaking. And if you can't cite me a law, I can say, well, you're a police officer, but that does not give you the right to tell me I can't go and say whatever I want to say to this guy, whether I'm deputized or not. So it's an interesting legal issue. It, you know, practically speaking, I think you're 100% right, which is, you know, clearly this guy had no business doing that once he's told not to do it. I believe you were correct. I think a jury would see it that way.
Well, the question is, did he follow his threat? The question is, did he follow someone who eventually became a threat to him after law enforcement recognized that that could happen and told him not to do that?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think at that point he's probably – what do you think, Brian?
Don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, I get that because it's a hard issue. What do you think, Jack?
I would listen to the police officer. I think you can't go wrong.
Yeah, that's probably right, as I say. But legally it's going to be interesting how that plays out, you know, and see whether his defense attorneys argue that, 911 does not have the right to tell him he can't walk the street and ask this guy any question. Now, then you get into a whole other issue, as Mark said, which is, what did he ask him? How did he approach him? And even then, You know, probably if you think this through now, of course, 2020 being hindsight, Trayvon Martin probably, again, is within his rights to ignore the guy and keep walking. Now, if he keeps walking and ignores the guy and then the guy shoots him, well, then I think clearly we know where that's going. But if he doesn't ignore him, and then, as you were saying during the break, and then suddenly he gets angry because this guy has no business telling him any of this in his mind, you know, and he says, well, it's a free country for me, too, and I can walk, and I don't need to be bothered by you, right? I'm not violating any crime. Then it the question is, what's the answer then? Well, I think at that point, they're both, as Mark said, probably not being smart in the situation. The best alternative, I believe, is, in my years of experience, is to walk away, right? I mean, that's the end of that.
I agree with you, but let's take that into perspective of the neighborhood patrol,
which
is why we came here.
Yeah.
And what those
tell us about that.
What those are. So Brian, can you tell us a little bit about Phoenix Neighborhood Patrol and what we do with those folks?
Sure. The program started back in about 94, and they are block watch folks, neighborhood watch, whatever you call the program, and we put them through special training before they go out and patrol their neighborhoods and keep an eye on stuff. They're trained to be eyes and ears only. Be a good witness.
They're not deputized officers.
No, they are neighborhood volunteers that are eyes and ears. Be a good witness, call the police.
So in this particular situation that's making national headlines, that person that's doing that should not be carrying a pistol, for example.
In our program, we have a rule that you do not carry any weapons at all.
Yeah.
We allow pepper spray as a defensive weapon, self-defense weapon. That's it. Nothing else.
Do you think, just a little that we've heard about this case, do you think that then that Zimmerman sounds like he was going above and beyond what he should have been doing?
We're not going to.
Oh, you're not going to comment on that.
We don't. You know, we steer away, us cops, especially here in Phoenix, we steer away from other agencies' investigations, especially one as nationally powerful as this one. But what we did come to say is that we have control over our block watch. We have control over our Phoenix Neighborhood Patrol. We do background checks on folks to avoid, in as much as we can, situations like, could it happen in Phoenix? Of course.
Yeah.
But we're going above and beyond to ensure that we don't get ourselves into this type of situation.
You know, it's something we see all the time, those of us that are practicing the criminal courts from time to time, where you have somebody who's well-intentioned. I had somebody like this, well-intentioned. Somebody is harassing them in a place they shouldn't be, you know, even trespassing. And then the problem becomes that the guy's unarmed. And so then you get into this issue of excessive force. And are you allowed to deter someone who's a nuisance to you, basically? Maybe a very big nuisance to you, by excessive force. And that's the issue, I guess, right?
You know, it really is. And if it turns into something where you've got a life-threatening situation for one person or another, then, of course, that's up for the courts and the juries to decide. The thing is, what we have to learn, all of us as human beings, especially when we're in our own neighborhoods and our own communities and trying to help our communities be safe, what we have to learn is when to stop, when to back down, and when to let the authorities come in and take care of us.
You have to have a cool head.
Yeah, you have to have a cool head. And, you know, us men and testosterone you know, all of these things.
It's true.
We have to learn how to control that to keep ourselves out of those types of situations.
So coming back to the Neighborhood Watch Program again, so this interface between the police and this Neighborhood Watch Program, is this working, Brian?
Yeah, I think it does. We have – I just got the numbers this morning.
Yeah.
About 150 people have actually been out patrolling this quarter of this year, put in about 6,000 hours of time to us.
How does that work, actually? In other words, if I want to be a neighborhood watch person in my neighborhood, or I want to, you know, because I assume I'm home during the day and I have a chance to see cars going by, do I have to register or something?
Well, there's a couple different programs. There's Block Watch, which is basically watching from your house, and then there's the program I oversee, the Phoenix Neighborhood Patrol Program, and that's where they actually leave their house. They patrol on foot, in car. We used to have a horse patrol out there. They'd ride their horses through the neighborhood, keep an eye on things. We ask them to come to a class, not ask them. They need to come to the class if they want to be certified. It's a four-hour class now. We cleaned it up a little bit, made it a little shorter, a little quicker for people to come to.
So who do they contact?
Oh, they'd contact me.
And give us your contact information.
Give me a call at my desk, 602. 256-4303.
Okay, so those of you out there that want to participate in a block – was that, no, not block watch.
Neighborhood Patrol.
Neighborhood Patrol, sorry. would call Brian, and they would register, go to the class, and then they're able to actually go out and patrol, and then they would keep in contact on their cell or something.
Right. We ask them to patrol in pairs, at least in pairs, at least two people absolutely at night. During the day, if they have some experience, we'll let them patrol or walk by themselves. But we want – it's great to have that witness with them, an extra set of eyes and ears, keeps things from getting out of control.
All right. Now, let's just – before we're done today, because we've got just a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Let's take a real-life situation, guys. So somebody's doing that. They've gone to the class. They're out there. They see somebody suspicious with a hood on or whatever that's not, they think, part of their neighborhood because of the person's appearance or whatever. They're familiar with people in the neighborhood. They don't see this guy as a reason to be patrolling their block at night. Okay, so what do they do?
Well, you know what? I'm glad you asked that question because we get probably, I would say, 100 of those calls a day. Suspicious cars that folks recognize don't belong in their neighborhood. People
right.
walking up and down the street pretending like they're selling magazines or whatever.
What do they do?
All they do is they call Phoenix Police Crime Stop at 602-262-6151, and they relay that information to us. We'll get a patrol out there, and you cannot believe the number of burglars, criminals we've caught because our citizens are out there paying attention and making those phone calls.
All right, James Holmes, Brian Cornegay. I got that wrong, I'm sure. No, that was good.
That was good.
Okay, well, we're going to end it with that. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here for the show. We appreciate it, talking about an interesting topic, the duty to retreat laws. This is Jack Wilinchek and Dennis Wilinchek, and we will be with you next week, every Wednesday, 4 to 5, on Legalese.
If you are over the age of 30 and are serious about losing 20 to 30 pounds of fat, please stay tuned to this important announcement. A local market trial is starting now for an incredible medical weight loss breakthrough. You may be eligible. We are looking for 200 people to participate in this risk-free trial. This medically supervised protocol is not a fad, gimmick, or diet craze. There is no surgery, diet food, or lap band involved. It simply helps reduce cravings, resets your body, resets your metabolism, and empowers you to change your life. This medical protocol is considered one of the fastest and most effective ways to lose weight and keep it off. Best of all, you witness noticeable results daily. Be one of the first 200 callers and you are guaranteed participation in this trial. Spots are limited and they will fill up. To reserve yours, call now 1-800-LOSE-FAT. That's 1-800-LOSE-FAT. 1-800-LOSE-FAT. This offer is limited, so call now 1-800-LOSE-FAT. That's 1-800-LOSE-FAT.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Laura Ingraham, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. KFNX News Time.